So the final round to the group stages kicked off with typical tension. In Group C, Roma joined Chelsea in the round of 16 at the expense of one of the competition's favourites.
Chelsea have equalised at Stamford Bridge. It was Eden Hazard with the shot, but it took a wicked deflection inside the box that deceived Oblak. It's level pegging at the bridge.
So the 2014 and 2016 finalists, Atletico, are out, but last year's finalists are not, as they did what they needed to do in Greece.
Bernadeschi goes on his own, and he bends it into the far bottom corner. It's a stunning finish by Bernadeschi, and Juventus will be playing in the UEFA Champions League in the new year.
So Juventus progress alongside Barcelona in Group D. In Group A, Manchester United and Basel confirm qualification with important victories. And in Group B, Paris Saint-Germain finished top despite a 3-1 defeat against fellow heavyweights Bayern. We'll bring you all the analysis and reaction to tonight's decisive matches. Plus, we'll preview Wednesday as well, including Liverpool's key encounter against Spartak and Porto's Group G clash against Monaco. So stay with us right here on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. Welcome to the show. I'm Rob Daly, and alongside me this evening is European football expert Paul Saffer. Paul, a great night. We have eight teams tonight through to the round of 16, of course.
We do indeed. Manchester United and Basel throughout. There were so many permutations, that Group A group. At one stage, it looked like Cisca might pull off a huge upset at Old Trafford. It didn't happen. Bayern then, they need to win by 3 goals against Paris. They won 3-1. They fell only just short. Need to win by 4 goals, in fact, but they fell only just short. Paris top, Bayern second. Another crucial group, Group C. It looked like Atletico, they're winning at Chelsea. Maybe they'd have a chance. But Roma won to finish top of the group, ahead of Chelsea on head-to-head, with Atletico only finishing third. And going into UEFA Europa, just like 2009-10, when, of course, they won it. And Juve, they went into the day not knowing if they'd go through. There could be another recent runner-up like Atletico going out. But they won without Buffon in goal. So rare for them not to have Buffon in goal. Certainly kept the clean sheet. They went through Sporting. It was that finished third.
Adam Summerton and John Bradley on the show as well. We'll speak to them very shortly. Let's run through all of Match Day 6's results. There was something to play for in every single game. Group A, Manchester United 2, CSKA Moskva 1, Benfica 0, Basel 2. In Group B, Celtic 0, Anderlecht 1, Bayern 3, Paris Saint-Germain 1. Group C, Chelsea 1, Atletico 1, Roma 1, Karabakh 0. And in Group D, Olympiacos 0, Juventus 2, Barcelona 2, Sporting 0. 12 teams into the round of 16 draw next Monday. Manchester United, Basel, Paris, Bayern, Chelsea, Roma, Atletico not in the next round, of course. Juventus, Barcelona, Manchester City all through, Besiktas, Spurs and Real Madrid as well. Let's start our look back on Tuesday's action with a tight affair at Stamford Bridge. Adam Summerton describes the action.
Morata gets on the turn, and it's a right-footed shot that was always curling, but not quite enough to bend into that near post. And it's behind for a goal kick. Great shot on the turn, though.
That was one of those ones where, from some angles, you might thought it was going in.
Moses now down by the dead ball line. Pulls it back to Alvaro Morata. Good save by Oblak. Still 0-0. Zappa Costa now, edge of the area, onto his right foot. Drives it in. Great save by Oblak down to his right. I think the keeper saw that late. It's a brilliant save down to his right-hand side. On target from Zappa Costa, and it's behind for a corner. Flicked on here by Torres, and Saúl Ñíguez was in there, and he scored for Atletico. The flick on by Torres, Saúl Ñíguez was unmarked inside the six-yard box, and he headed home unchallenged. Hazard, he gets his shot, and it's deflected, and it's in. Chelsea have equalised at Stamford Bridge. It was Eden Hazard with the shot, but it took a wicked deflection inside the box that deceived Oblak, and Conte has his arms outstretched, waving them about at the crowd. It's level pegging at the bridge. Chelsea 1, Atletico 1.
Adam Summerton joins Paul and myself. Now, it was probably a fair result, Adam, but Chelsea will be wondering how they let top spots slip away from them.
Yeah, they will. And I suppose in a way that they'll be kicking themselves that they went into Match Day 6 at the top, but they failed to retain it. And they had a couple of really good chances to win the game as well at 1-1, particularly to Willian. That opportunity where he was the star of the show really in at Karabag on match day 5, but couldn't find the finish on that occasion. Look, we'll only know in the fullness of time just how big a deal it is that Chelsea haven't finished top of the group. It just depends on the look of the draw. It depends who they get. If they pull, say, Paris Saint-Germain out of the draw, we all know the history between those two clubs as well. If they end up losing, people will say, well, they're out because they didn't do the job on match day 6. So, look, a lot will depend on the future. But, yeah, I agree with you. I think they will regret not topping the group.
Well, let's hear from the Chelsea cap now, Eden Hazard, and their captain tonight, Gary Cahill.
I felt second half. We more than deserved the win. I made some fantastic chances. So, pleased with the performance. Asking myself how we've not won that in the end, to be honest. But nevertheless, to come from behind 1-1. And like I said, we should have won that.
And the only problem, the goalkeeper was on fire. So we should score more goals, win the game and finish first of the group. But we just draw. But it's a good draw because Atletico Madrid, they play very well. They are very strong. So we are happy today.
The thoughts of Hazard and Cahill there. Uktash on Twitter using hashtag MatchDayLiver says Jan Oblak is the man who makes the difference between Chelsea and their top spot. And he was outstanding again. We were talking about him pre-show,
yeah.
Adam.
Yeah, I think that in my opinion, everyone in the room will have an opinion, but in my view, I think only David De Gea is a better goalkeeper than him in the world right now. I know that people will say Neuer, but he's out injured and has been for a while now. If we're looking at players currently, that's how highly I rate him. And I thought that he pulled off one particularly good save from Morata, didn't he? Wonderful goalkeeper, really, really is. And he's one of the main reasons why they keep as many clean sheets as they do.
At 0-0, and then again at 1-1, he made a number of fantastic saves. Right after that goal as well, right after the equaliser, I think that was, I can't remember if it was Morata with the shot, but yeah. That was a spectacular save and did it towards the end. But I think Atletico were, they were very well drilled, particularly when they were trying to defend the 1-0. They did suck in Chelsea. I think in the end, Atletico won't look at this game as the one that blew it for them. Yeah. They'll look back at not beating Karabag, two draws against them that have expected more. And Chelsea may look at this game and saying, okay, Chelsea did get a last minute winner when they went to Madrid. Maybe got away with it a little bit there. So maybe not winning the group is what Chelsea deserve. And maybe Roma's 3-0 win against Chelsea is the defining result in this group, because people wouldn't have been looking at Roma winning this group. They probably would have been the third favourites, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. But there they are, they're the teams that come top. Atletico transferring to the UEFA Europa League. Of course, last time they did it, 2009-10, when they scored even fewer goals. They only scored 5 goals in this group. They scored 3 goals in their group, 2009-10, got 2 points, yet went on to win the UEFA Europa League. So there's still opportunities for them. And as Manchester United proved last year, it's a competition worth winning, particularly when it's so hard in Spain to even finish in their top 4. But They'll look back at other days, because they played perfectly well today. Chelsea, very well drilled, just let their guard slip, of course, for that one moment in the set piece. And, of course, it took a deflection off Savic. It was an own goal from the Hazard shot that, in the end, beat Oblak. Nothing else was going to beat him today.
Interestingly as well, Roma, of course, have beaten Karabag by 1-0. Perotti with a goal, a header. They narrowly managed to get a result against a Karabag side that were already guaranteed to finish bottom. Adam, a word on Roma winning that group, because I know you really rate what they've done in a very tough section.
Yeah, I do, because I think, when the draw was made, I remember, listening to a lot of people who said, look, well, that's going to be Chelsea and Atletico. Roma just aren't strong enough. And look, there was a lot of change at Roma over the summer. We saw Monchi come in at the end of last season, who's in charge of the recruitment there now. We saw a new manager in Di Francesco come in. Different character, different style to Spalletti, who'd gone out. Spalletti, who'd not done a bad job at all, to finish second in the league, with a lot of off-field distractions as well, the retirement of Totti and things like that. So a very transitional time in the club's history. And when you think they're going through a transitional time, yet they've topped their UEFA Champions League group,
yeah,
and they're very much in the hunt in terms of Serie A as well. They've got a game in hand on the three sides above them in Serie A. I think that they're a side ahead of schedule right now, and they're doing really well.
And Alisson Becker, of course, replacing Szczesny, their first choice goalkeeper this season. That opening performance at Atletico, and Atletico battered them, but it finished 0-0. That set them up for what they've achieved in this group.
Very impressive indeed. So Chelsea finished second behind Roma, level on points, but it's Atletico who go into the UEFA Europa League now. Let's go to Group D now. Olympiacos 0, Juventus 2. Let's remind you of what happened in this one. John Bradley was watching for Matchday Live.
A lovely ball in behind. The break is made by Alexandro, driven across goal, and Cuadrado is there, and Juventus have the lead. It's a marvellously made goal down the left-hand side. Alexandro breaking from left back. He thumped the crawl across the penalty area, and in came Juan Cuadrado to turn the ball home from a couple of metres out. It's Olympiacos 0, Juventus 1. Here comes a corner for Olympiacos, and the header across goal. It's an outstanding save from the goalkeeper. He spread himself really well, this to Chesney, and the follow-up shot from Ojija will go well wide. That's an outstanding save. That's nice. Here's Bernadeschi, corner of the penalty area, right-hand side. Bernadeschi goes on his own, and he bends it into the far bottom corner. It's a stunning finish by Bernadeschi, and Juventus will be playing in the UEFA Champions League in the new year. That goal seals the deal. It's Olympiacos 0, Juventus 2.
And Juventus deserved their place in the round of 16. Granted, they were beaten heavily by Barcelona earlier in the competition, but they managed to get it done. John Bradley joins us now. John, was that we saw a very professional performance away at Napoli to win 1-0 last Friday. Was it a similar manner tonight in Piraeus?
It's a bit of a grind for Juventus at the moment. They aren't playing with perhaps the fluidity and the fluency that we have seen them, but they just have that extra little bit of class and that extra little bit of quality. And when you have players like Gonzalo Higuain, you will always carry a goal threat. He wasn't the hero for them tonight. That was Juan Cuadrado, who's had a really good season for them so far, who got them in front after 15 minutes after a beautiful ball by Blaise Matuidi, who'd come into the side for Miralem Pjanic tonight. It released Alexandro. He drove the ball across goal, and Cuadrado simply couldn't miss. But Olympiacos, having their worst ever UEFA Champions League campaign, really had a go back at them, and they were full of energy, they were full of vigour, they were full of desire. And Wojciech Szczesny standing in tonight for Gigi Buffon in the Juventus goal, made several fine saves. He denied Uroš Djurjević's header, as we just heard there, and then he denied Marco Marin as he broke through the inside right channel and fired a shot away, which Szczesny saved really well. Ben Nabuhani hit the crossbar and the post in the same effort as well a little later on, before Fernando Bernadeschi came from the bench, cut inside from the right flank as he does so well, and with that trusty left foot picked out the bottom corner. It sealed the deal for Juventus, but they know they've been in a game in Piraeus this evening. It was a really hard fought win for them, and we have to say that the Olympiacos deserve a lot of credit, because of course they were already out. They knew they were out of European competition before this game, but they put on a show for their fans, and out of respect for their club really tonight, and they deserve a lot of respect for that.
I mean, you mentioned Szczesny there, because so rare that Buffon doesn't start a UEFA Champions League game, and Szczesny looked upon as the possible long-term successor to Buffon when he eventually bows out. How do you think he took his, I suppose, audition?
Three really big saves, Paul, and he commanded his area well. His first actual save was a bit of a loose one. There was a shot from distance that he bobbled off his chest and managed to get at the second attempt. But we're talking about a goalkeeper of international quality here who's come in. He's not a rookie. He's played in this competition many times before. He's represented Arsenal and Juventus and his nation as well. So we're not talking about a goalkeeper who doesn't know his way around, and he's a real rock steady replacement. He's been playing in Serie A quite a bit this season as well. So if this is a case of Buffon passing the torch over, well, Szczesny certainly didn't do his harms or do his chances any harm with his performance in Piraeus.
Barcelona with a 2-0 win over Sporting. Goals from Paco Alcácer and an own goal from Jeremy Mathieu back at Barcelona secure the victory for the Blaugrana, who are already guaranteed top, and they got the win without starting Lionel Messi in that game, of course. Juve finishing second. Sporting go into the UEFA Europa League. From Group B, actually, let's start with Celtic from Group B, because they've made their way into the UEFA Europa League despite a home defeat at the hands of Anderlecht tonight. Let's hear from the Celtic captain, Scott Brown.
It's going to be great for us, to be perfectly honest. I think the main thing was, for at the start of the group, you look at the group and we wanted to finish third. We've managed to do that. We're in Europa League now, but we've got to learn from the whole Champions League, and we understand that we're playing against two top quality teams, and today they've played, that's probably the best football I've seen a team come to Celtic Park and play. But we need to learn the lessons from that. We need to be a lot braver on the ball, and we need to get back to this place being a fortress.
some compliment there from Scott Brown, given the teams that have come to Celtic Park this season. But they probably would have taken UEFA Europa League football, would you say, Paul, when the draw was made and they were drawn with Bayern and Paris Saint-Germain?
Certainly. I mean, they were just relieved just to get through, because they've not always got through qualifying, because they did last year as well. And they wanted to take football forward, because, I mean, Scotland have really dropped down in UEFA rankings, and they're kind of, all of Scotland's really relying on Celtic to do well in Europe, have a run in Europe, and they've got a chance in UEFA Europa League. They probably will have to improve on how they did today, but they can think about how they went to Anderlecht, admittedly a team low in confidence at that point, and won 3-0. That was very impressive. They're unbeaten in more than 60 games in domestic football, and Brendan Rodgers, we know, is a very ambitious manager, and Scott Brown today, of course, the experience there, he actually overtook Kenny Dalglish there as the Scottish player with the most games in European competition, so a bit of a milestone for him, and a milestone for Celtic to make sure they continue their European campaign. And we know in the UEFA Europa League, really anything can happen. They'll look at the teams who are in that group. I mean, there are good teams coming through from the UEFA Europa League, but Celtic will relish the opportunity of having a knockout game and mixing it with those sort of sides.
In the same group, Bayern narrowly missed out on pipping Paris Saint-Germain to top spot. They beat them by 3-1. In the end, they needed to beat them by a 4-goal margin. But 2 goals for Corentin Tolisso, former Lyon player, against Paris Saint-Germain, got Bayern the win. And they finished second in their group. Adam, Bayern missing out on top spot to the French giants, who are top of Ligue 1 currently.
Yeah, but I think that tonight was really interesting, because I was intrigued to see how the Jupankis Bayern would do against Paris in light of what happened when it was Ancelotti's final game, as it proved to be. Because whilst Paris have been excellent in this group stage, I still wonder whether they will have what it takes to go on and win this competition. I think they and Manchester City have been the standout sides of the group stage. But a lot of this is about nous experience. It's about mentality. And have they got that mentality yet? Have they got that inner belief to say, we're good enough collectively to go on, sure, and win the UEFA Champions League? That's why I was looking tonight to see how they did it, Bayern. And that's just, to me, added a little bit of weight to the theory in my mind that I'm still not sure they are yet. But we'll see.
Certainly interesting, because, of course, Carlo Ancelotti lost his job after the 3-0 loss to Paris Saint-Germain on match day two. Through winning their group is Manchester United. 2-1 victory against CSKA Moskva. They trailed before goals from Lukaku and Marcus Rashford. We're going to hear from Rashford and Juan Mata.
We needed to win. You know, we were already qualified. We just needed a point, but we always want to win, especially at Old Trafford. And I think even in the first half, we had a few good chances. In the second half, we scored twice. We won the game, and we are so happy. And now we face weekend's game in the best conditions.
I think it's always a good feeling to get on a score sheet, but I think the most important thing today was to get the win and to qualify with no injuries. And I think it just puts us in good stead for the rest of the tournament. You know, we can go into the knockout stages positive.
Paul Pogba outstanding in that win. By the way, he will miss the Manchester derby through suspension. Adam, Jose Mourinho relieved to... qualification was virtually guaranteed.
Yeah.
But they win the group, which is massive, as we know.
Yeah, it is. And I think that when you look at Jose Mourinho as a coach and his ability to set up teams to win games tactically, to be pragmatic, to play to the opposition, as he did in the UEFA Europa League last season very skillfully, I think whilst there are better squads and there are better teams in the UEFA Champions League, you look at Manchester United and you think they've got a great chance of going a long way in this competition, because they have great players, great quality. They've got match winners. They've got players like Ibrahimovic and Lukaku and Pogba. They've got the best depth, in my opinion, in the Premier League. I think they've got the best squad. So injuries shouldn't be too much of a problem. And when you've got Mourinho as your coach, when it gets to the latter stages of the UEFA Champions League, he gives you a big chance.
You know that to win two-leg games.
Certainly does. Yeah. United win their group. They're in Monday's draw, along with Basel, who won 2-0 at Benfica. What an achievement, Paul Saffa, for Basel to go through from a fairly evenly balanced, tough section, really.
Did Rafael Wicki actually just said, just after the game, he said, 12 points, that's unbelievable. I mean, it's a fantastic achievement for Basel to get the 4 wins. Oberlin, who got the winner, that's his fourth goal in the group. So he's amongst the top scorers in the UEFA Champions League. Of course, the memorable game for them will be that last-minute win against Manchester United. Basel have a history of beating English teams. I mean, I'm thinking back to when Wicki before, and they beat Manchester United a few years ago as well to get through. And 2002-03, they beat Liverpool to get through when Wicki was playing. So they've done it again. There were a few nervous moments for them. And even today, Benfica have ended up somehow with no points. Benfica gave them a good game before Oberlin got that second goal. and put Benfica really out of the game. They did push hard, but yeah, Basel done tremendously well in a group that they look very even apart from Manchester United, and they've done it and they're in that draw.
Benfica bottom, no points, just getting to the UEFA Europa League, an achievement for them with 9, Basel second with 12, United with 15, top of their section. So Jose Mourinho, can they go all the way?
Now we are just 16, and after the knockout we'll be just 8. Let's see. We are not candidates, far from it. There are teams very powerful. There are teams with great experience at this level. But let's see. Let's see how it goes. But now we have lots of matches in the English competitions, and we can forget Champions League for a couple of months.
Yeah, Focus Mourinho now turns to the Manchester derby with City at the weekend. Still to come on the show, we're going to preview Wednesday night's match day 6 fixtures.
Everyone can enjoy football, no matter who you are, where you're from, or how you play. That's Equal Game.
This is Matchday Live with me, Rob Daly. So to Wednesday now, and our featured game is a pivotal one from Group E. Liverpool host Spartak at Anfield. The home side need a point to progress, while it's win or bust for the Russian champions. Before we speak to our commentator, Richard Connolly, let's hear from Liverpool boss Jurgen Klopp.
It's the game, because we are only part of the Champions League because we want to go to the next round. So all good and bad things that happened so far in the Champions League, mostly good, brought us in this situation. Having a home game, the atmosphere can and should help us tomorrow. We all know how special this place can be, and that's what I'm looking for, actually. That's what I want. That's what hopefully everybody knows.
Jurgen Klopp's already seen Anfield do its thing on a European night, most notably against Dortmund. Richard Connolly joins us now. Richard, despite that comeback from Sevilla, actually, on match day 5, Liverpool have responded well in the Premier League.
Yeah, they have. I mean, 5 goals against Brighton at the weekend. They just look terrific going forward. The concerns are at the back. I mean, I think the situation giving the 3-goal lead away against Sevilla on match day 5 certainly adds a bit of tension. But for Spartak, there is similar frustration, failing to beat Maribor twice in the group. So I think whoever goes out of the competition tomorrow, and one of the two sides will, then there's going to be serious regrets.
It's been exciting watching. I mean, you expect any Klopp team to be exciting. When you're talking about Coutinho, you're talking about where Salah's played. Liverpool, certainly an exciting team to watch, even if probably of what looks like being the 5 English teams going through, they're probably the ones who you'd probably rank 5th right now in the way they've played in this competition.
Yeah, and I guess that's probably because they would tend to concede more goals than the others. But if you're talking about a team that has Coutinho, Salah, Firmino and Mane as part of an extraordinary attack, then they can be as thrilling, if not more thrilling, than any other team. And they have the ability, unquestionably, to take the game completely away from Spartak. But equally, they have the possibility of throwing in the odd mistake. And Spartak have some dangerous attacking players. Quincy Promes is in double figures for the season, in not quite the same way, but similar to the way that Salah has taken the season by storm in the English Premier League. Both teams have a top scorer who's not a regular striker, a number 9. So, yeah, there's so many reasons this is going to be fascinating in a group where there are plenty of permutations still.
Richard, thank you. Look forward to your company. Tomorrow, Richard Connolly will be our commentator for Liverpool Spartak. We understand Joe Gomez and Ragnar Klavan did train today. They both missed the win against Brighton at the weekend. Liverpool playing with a back 3 and 2 of them midfielders. Maribor, Sevilla is the other game in that group. Of course, Sevilla a point behind Liverpool. That 3-3 draw has salvaged their campaign. Our other feature match sees Porto looking to seal qualification from Group G against Monaco. Watching that one for us will be UEFA.com's Mike Shull, who joins us now. Mike, what's the situation here for Porto? Because they just have a narrow advantage over Leipzig in the other game.
They do. They have a very narrow advantage. Both teams at the moment on 7 points. Neither of them can catch Beşiktaş, who will win the group. But Porto, having beaten Leipzig 3-1 at home, as opposed to losing 3-2 away, have that 1-goal advantage in the head-to-head. So basically, as long as they match Leipzig's result, they will go through. Leipzig have obviously got a better Porto, a win for Porto, and anything that Leipzig do will be academic. That is basically it. So basically Porto have the advantage, a win, and they're through.
Porto, of course, coming off that game with Benfica on Friday when they somehow didn't find a way through. Nice did Benfica. How do you think Porto are shaping up for that against the Monaco team, who can't have any confidence, who somehow in this competition have been really belied. They've been great in Ligue 1, but it's just hadn't happened for them in this competition.
It's amazing, isn't it, when you consider where Monaco were last season in the Champions League, getting right through to the semi-finals. I think Porto, in many respects, will probably want to take out a little bit of frustration on Monaco after what happened on Friday against Benfica. I mean, they had one or two decisions that didn't go their way, and they couldn't find a way through, as you say. But Monaco still getting the results in Ligue 1. It was a narrow win at the weekend over Angers, although if you saw Falcao's goal, it's a terrific finish by him. And they've always got him to rely on, haven't they? What, 14 goals in 13 league games this season? Yes, he's only got a couple in the UEFA Champions League. And I suppose there'll be the comparisons, weren't there, on the night between him and Vincent Aboubakar, who scored 15 goals in 20 games this season. Those two will be kind of the showpieces up front for either side.
Spot on, Mike. Thank you very much for joining us, and we look forward to your company tomorrow. Mike Sewell will be our commentator for Porto, Monaco, Leipzig, Besiktas is the other game in that group. Also, on Wednesday night, Shakhtar host Manchester City. Shakhtar will be through if they avoid defeat or if Napoli do not win against City. Expect City to change. They've already won the group and face United at the weekend, as mentioned. Feyenoord, who will finish fourth, host Napoli in Rotterdam. And in Group H, Spurs host Apoel. Real Madrid take on Dortmund. The top two spots already decided. Spurs have won the group. Real Madrid will finish second. So there might be some rotation from both Spurs and Real Madrid. This could have ramifications on who reaches the UEFA Europa League, Paul.
It does. Borussia Dortmund and Apoel, they've drawn twice with each other. They're both drawn with the same score, so it'll go to overall goal difference, which Dortmund's got overall goal difference is a lot better. So Apoel need to get some points at Tottenham, because right now they're level on points. So it'll be tied on overall goal difference, and the pressure's on Apoel to somehow get something at Wembley.
OK, we'll ask for your man of the match from the other games tonight, Paul, in a moment. First, Adam Summerton, Chelsea, Atletico, your man of the match.
Yeah, I thought that Sal Niguez, there wasn't really anyone who really stood out, if I'm honest, from either side, but I was quite impressed by him tonight. I thought he gave a good performance and scored a goal as well.
John, man of the match from Olympiacos nil, Juve 2.
Yeah, similar to Adam in a way. No one really stood out in the game, but let's give some plaudits to Wojciech Szczesny for coming in tonight, replacing Gigi Buffon. He made three really big saves.
I like that one, John. Paul, from the other games tonight, can you pick out one player who's been especially the star?
I'll say Perotti for scoring the goal to take Roma through as group winners, which few would have predicted.
Gents, thank you very much. That's all we have time for on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live on a night that saw four more teams confirm their place in the round of 16. In our feature game at Stamford Bridge, Atletico put up a good fight, but it was in vain as Roma beat Karabag to top Group C ahead of Chelsea. In Group D, Juventus saw off Olympiacos in Greece to progress alongside Barcelona. In the battle of the top two in Group B, Bayern won the match, but Paris Saint-Germain won the group courtesy of goal difference between the sides. And in Group A, Manchester United came from behind to beat CSKA Moskva and top the standings ahead of fellow qualifiers Basel. So 12 teams through and four to go. Join us again from 19:30 CET on Wednesday night for two more finely poised affairs. We have full commentary of Liverpool versus Spartak at Anfield and extended updates of Porto versus Monaco, plus all the goals as they go in. So until then, from Paul Saffer, Adam Summerton, John Bradley, and me, Rob Daly, it's goodbye.
Flicked on here by Torres, and Saul Niguez was in there, and he scored for Atletico. The flick on by Torres, Saul Niguez was in, marked inside the six-yard box, and he headed home unchallenged.
The break is made by Alexandro, driven across goal, and Cuadrado is there, and Juventus have the lead.
Rashford has made it 2-1, and in what, 60 seconds, United have turned it around.
Hazard, he gets his shot, and it's deflected, and it's in. Chelsea have equalised at Stamford Bridge. It was Eden Hazard with the shot, but it took a wicked deflection inside the box that deceived Oblak.
Bernadeschi goes on his own, and he bends it into the far bottom corner. It's a stunning finish by Bernadeschi, and Juventus will be playing in the UEFA Champions League in the new year.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.